We're through 60 minutes and beyond. This is the Flames Talk Postgame Show, now available on Apple and Spotify. Here's Pat Steinberg.
Okay, time to get your postgame coverage underway. 3-0 the final score. Capitals beat the Flames at Capital One Arena. Flames Talk postgame is underway on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. Call now, 403-240-4444. Text now, 960-960. Your phone calls and text still to come. We'll hear from head coach Daryl Sutter. We'll head back to Capital One Arena with plenty of checks into the Flames locker room as well, following their second regulation loss on this six-game road trip. Your Flames Talk postgame show is coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. The local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. For all things basement-y, visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com. My name is Pat Steinberg with Peter Labardius and Derek Wills breaking this one down. And Lou, you said it three or four times as those 60 minutes were playing out. Just not Calgary's afternoon. Just felt like even as the first period came to an end, but certainly as the second period rolled on, just felt like was not going to be their afternoon, and finding a way to get one past Darcy Kuemper was going to be really difficult.
Well, I go back to the first period. Came to the rink ready to play, dominated, got to their forecheck, held pucks in the zone, had three or four grade A opportunities to score, couldn't do it. The Caps really only had one quality opportunity, I thought, period, in the first. They might have had two. They scored on one of them. You knew Washington would be better in the second because they were not very good, and I'm sure they were very much sent that message by their coaching staff. You know, the third, Flames had a decent push, but couldn't get anything going. Everything with this hockey team right now looks hard. Even in a couple of wins, like there is nothing. They do not look like a group that's enjoying themselves very much. Now, I know days like today make that difficult.
Yeah, and winning can solve a lot of problems, but they're not winning enough right now. I mean, they're not in a bad spot in the standings. They're still very much in the fight for a top three spot in the Pacific Division. But, yeah, they're fighting it right now. And it'll be interesting to see what Daryl Sutter decides to do with his lineup tomorrow, what he does with his lines and his pairings. I assume Dan Vladar will get the start and goal in the second half of this back-to-back with the tough turnaround going from Washington to Raleigh. And I did think that old number one line, when they were reunited in the third period, had some jump. So I wonder if they'll leave Lindholm, Huberdeau, and Toffoli together for tomorrow's game against the Hurricanes. But, you know, this is a team. Everything came easy to the Flames last year. They scored easy. They won easy. And ultimately, that may have hurt them when things got hard in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So maybe going through some adversity during the regular season will build even more character on a team that I believe has a lot of character. And, you know, that's me looking at the situation they're in with the glass half full. But you know what? Teams that go through some tough times during the regular season and become more battle-tested. And the Flames, they're trying to fight to get to where they want to be. They're trying to fight to win hockey games. And it didn't work for them today, but they can still salvage the road trip with a couple of points against a good Hurricanes team tomorrow. So you try to put this one behind you and bounce back with a better performance in about 24 hours.
Guys, why do we think? I think we're all on the same page. You know, Lou says it looks like it's just really hard for them right now, and everything seems like it's an uphill climb, win or loss a lot of times. Even the 5-2 win in Philadelphia did not come easy, and really that was a 3-2 win with a couple of empty netters. Why does it? I'll steal Rob Kerr's term. He always used the term chopping wood when it came to when the Flames were going through a stretch like this, and that's what it looks like right now. It seems like everything you're having to slog through the mud right now.
Well, they're having a hard time scoring goals, and you know what? People can point the finger at the goaltenders all they want. How many games do you win when you score zero goals? None,
or even one.
Right. So I mean, you got to give the goaltenders a little bit of run support, and the Flames certainly have had a harder time doing that this season than they did last season. So when you're not scoring, you get frustrated. When you're not winning, you get frustrated. I think the frustration has started to boil over. I know that Milan Lucic's penalty that he took in the third period, which took away a grade-A scoring chance and maybe took a goal away from Noah Hanifin. That's been a hot topic on social media. But that's frustration. That's a guy who cares, caring too much and caring in the wrong way. But, you know, in a way, I don't blame the guys for being frustrated. You just want to use that frustration in the right way. And you know what? Daryl Sutter is a very demanding coach. And I think that's probably easier to deal with when you're scoring goals and you're winning games than when you're not scoring goals and you're not winning as many games as you want to win. So I don't know. They have enough talent to get through this. They just have to figure out a way to get to their A game. But you're right, Pat. You know, today was maybe the best example I've seen all season of just how frustrating things can be for this team when things aren't going their way. And I thought they played a really good first period. We're probably unlucky to be behind in this hockey game through 20 minutes. But, Lou, we talked about it on the broadcast. When the Capitals scored that second goal, crazy to say, the game almost felt out of reach at that point.
That it was. I remember there was 12 minutes left in the second period, and it was 1-0, and there wasn't a lot going on in the second for the Flames, and it did. At that point, I threw it out at you. I said, does it feel like the next one is going to be really important? Yeah. And as it turned out, it was.
Yeah, it definitely turned out that way when it was all said and done. That next one was scored by Evgeny Kuznetsov. They added one more into Calgary's net on the power play in the third period, thanks to Alex Ovechkin. So the final score, 3-0, Flames fall to the Washington Capitals. Let's head back to Capital One Arena and hear from head coach Daryl Sutter, who just finished addressing the media following this afternoon's loss.
Can I just your thoughts overall on the game to me?
I thought we had a good first period. I think if we'd handled the puck a little better in the first, we probably could have or would have scored a goal. But kind of was one looked like one of those games of who was going to score first. That was the difference.
As the game wore on, did you get enough, in those areas, scoring chances high enough?
Well, once they get the lead, you know, they play that neutral zone with three guys across, 1-3-1, and will force you to chip a lot of pucks, so you need to get a bounce in there or a break somewhere in there.
I noticed you put Huberto back with Lindholm and Toffoli in the third. Is that something?
Did a couple times a period before that too. After we've been using Jonathan and Ty killing penalties together more, so it's just, you know, at that point you're down two, you're trying to put it all together. You know, see if somebody will get us a goal.
Is that trio something you'd like kind of another look at?
I think Jonathan's game has come a long ways in the last five or six games, so trying to get him out there as much as you can, so a lot of those timeouts, things like that, or after their power play, things like that. So I don't think it's as much a trio. I think it's more about ice time. We got to play a certain way to win, real check grind game. That's the way it's going to be, but then you need guys to score, so if you can get them, if they're playing good enough, then you're trying to get them a couple more shifts.
What areas have you liked the most? You said the last four, five, six games here of Jonathan.
I think just his play, he's just more on top of everything with his game, just a little sharper.
I think Andrew led your team in shots tonight. Where are you seeing his game?
I think we said before the trip, it was about the touches. He touched pucks more. I think that he did that really well those two games at home. Then we started on the road and he was not as good. And then came around again the last couple.
How do you view now kind of the importance of finishing off this road trip here tomorrow?
It's important. Play hard. That's what we're doing. Be honest, work hard. I mean, and then go from there. I mean, it's a long trip for sure, but we're not going to have a late night, so let's use that.
Was that puck management that led you to move Adam down?
It wasn't sharp enough. There's a leash, too. These guys, you go 3-4 games and your game starts dropping off, then there's still a reckoning for those young players.
All right. Thank you, Derek. There you go. That is head coach Daryl Sutter postgame just moments ago at Capital One Arena in Washington, where the Capitals take a 3-0 win over the Flames. Calgary drops to 2-2-1 on this six-game road trip with one more still to go. That is on Saturday afternoon in Carolina. You're locked on your Flames Talk postgame show. It's Pat Steinberg with Derek Wills and Peter Labardius. Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast. The marquee matchup today, guys, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. We focused on Elias Lindholm, and Lou Lindholm started on the line with Ruzicka and Toffoli. Didn't take long in the first period for that to change. Trevor Lewis got bumped up to that line. Ruzicka moved down to center of the line with Richie and Lucic. That continued throughout the game. And then in the second and definitely in the third period, Huberdeau and Lewis swapped. Lewis to go play with Backlund and Coleman, and then Huberdeau back with Lindholm and Toffoli. It's interesting to hear Daryl talk about why Ruzicka got moved down, the way he's using Huberdeau. I thought that was quite interesting as well, Lou, hearing about how he just want to get him on the ice more because really feels like his game is moving in the right direction.
Well, he's the one guy on this team, and I know it hasn't translated into a ton of production yet, but when he has the puck and it's in the offensive zone, you have a pretty good idea it might get to somebody in a very dangerous place. It's not even remotely close as far as who is the most gifted playmaker on this hockey team. And there have been times on this trip where you just want him to have the puck more. And I said it the other night on our show, and I don't feel any differently now. You know, as much as it's been about him, and there has been a huge adjustment, and I am not exactly sure that, you know, he loved how things were going early on in a lot of different ways. I'll just leave it right there. But he's come back because he's too proud and he's too good. But the way he thinks it, guys, and makes plays, here's the greatest misnomer in hockey. Everybody thinks that really good players are easy to play with. Sometimes they're not, because they think it at a level that you don't. And that, again, that's not saying they don't need more and he doesn't have to produce more, because he'd tell you that himself. But they have yet to kind of find that combo where everything for him becomes kind of like second nature.
And the Flames are having a really tough time generating anything off the rush. Now, the Capitals, to their credit, I thought did a great job clogging up the neutral zone, taking away time and space. And as Daryl pointed out in his postgame comments to the media, you know, it became just trying to get through the middle of the ice, and then you chip and chase, and if you can't get there, you're chasing it back down the ice again. So, you know, the Capitals deserve a lot of credit for the way they played today, because they just threw a blanket over the Flames, especially in the final 40 minutes, and made life really, really difficult. And, you know, when you're a team that's fighting it offensively and seemingly out of sync for good chunks of games, and that's with the puck and without the puck, you can get frustrated playing in the type of game that the Capitals kind of forced the Flames to play in today. And, you know, I talked about the Flames having a tough time generating offense off the rush. The other thing that's really jumped out to me, especially of late, one of the differences between last season and this season, is that I thought last season the Flames did a really good job dictating how the game was going to be played and playing to their identity. This season, even though they had a good first period against the Capitals today, I don't think they've dictated as much, and I'm not really sure what their identity is 20 games into the season. And it's something I actually brought up with Trevor Lewis earlier today, and they know what they want their identity to be, the same as it was last year, but they're a little bit different team. So, you know, they're kind of fighting through that identity crisis right now, and I think they want to be the type of team that's, you know, really strong defensively, that gets great goaltending, and that, well, they might have to score differently this season than they did last when they had the best offensive line in the NHL with Lindholm, Gaudreau, and Tkachuk. They might have to score more by committee this season, but I still think they have the talent to do that.
Okay, let's kick this around just for a second, because I think it leads to a very interesting conversation. So I slightly disagree with you, Derek, in terms of how they're coming out of the gate. because I've seen a lot of nights, and today was one of them, where they come out of the gate. But you know what you have to do when you're dictating to an opponent? You need to get something done. Mm-hmm. And last year, especially in the early going, well, you play better when you make good on those chances, when you're clearly better than somebody. Then they have to change the way that they play. They get out of their structure because they might have to take some more chances. Yeah. This team, even when it has been good, and they were clearly on top of their game today, if you don't get anything out of it, two things happen. You start to question how you're going about your business, and at a certain point in time, you're not going to run the other team's show the same way. Mm-hmm. You have just... So last year, again, and we keep talking about last year, and that's fine, but I will have this debate with anybody who wants to have it. Yes, they had a great line, but you know what they did? For the first 2.5 months of the season, everything they touched went well. Mm-hmm. And the reason is, and I don't care what anybody says, everybody took them a little bit lightly. Their style worked incredibly well, and they smacked a lot of people right in the chin. This is not a hard game to play when other people are chasing you. But it is a damn hard game to play when you have to chase them or you're slugging it out, which they're doing right now, every night.
Well, and the one thing that I would say to that point is that, guys, it goes back to what we talked about 6 or 7 minutes ago, because there have been multiple times this year when we've come out of a period, first period, second period, whatever, and said, boy, that was a really strong period from the Flames, but they got one goal. Or in the case of this afternoon's game, they had none and they were trailing 1-0. And you know, whether it's a comparison to last year or not, even if you're looking just at the 20 games they've played this year, that's been a big reason why they're only a game above 500, because they have not done enough when they've been good. And I go back to, you've brought it up, Lou, you brought it up during the game. It looks a lot like those LA Kings teams near the end of Darryl's run, where shot volume and zone time and attempts were all high, but it was so difficult to score goals. And in a lot of the periods where they've been really good, there's been a lot of that going on.
Yeah, and even looking at the goaltending from year to year, the Flames' goaltending tandem was fantastic for all of last season. But I would say they were even better early in the season than they were late in the season.
Yes.
Right? And that hasn't been the case this season. And then on the flip side of that, offensively, to your point, everything they touched turned to gold last year, especially that line of Elias Lindholm, Johnny Gaudreau, and Matthew Tkachuk. So not only were you getting great goaltending at one end of the ice, you were scoring way more goals than you had to at the other end of the ice. This season, neither one of those things is happening. And I guess just to kind of circle back to what I said, and I thought you brought up some really good points there, Lou, for me, part of dictating is finishing.
Yeah, and that's right? that is fair.
Yeah, and last year, I felt like they dictated from start to finish in almost all of the games. One of the reasons why is they would get ahead of teams, force them to get away from the way they wanted to play, and then they could really dig in and dictate.
Right.
But it's way easier to dictate when you're playing with the lead.
Yes.
And the Flames played with the lead more than just about any team in the league last season. I'm not sure where they finished, but I'm pretty sure it was top three of the most amount of time with the lead in the National Hockey League last season. So, you know, everything came easy for this team in the regular season last year. And it worked out in the first round for them. They got through that series with the Stars in 7 games. Didn't work out for them in the second round versus the Oilers. And again, maybe this is just me looking for a silver lining with the team struggling a little bit right now. But maybe the fact that things are harder for them during the regular season will build some adversity, will build some character, will make them more battle-tested. I guess they still have to get to the playoffs to prove that that matters or that something's changed. But right now, everything is just an absolute fight for this team, and nothing is easy. It would just be nice to have one game where you led from start to finish and weren't biting your fingernails the whole game.
Well, we thought they were going to get that maybe the other night in Philadelphia. And guess what? You're biting your fingernails right till the very end, because with a minute and a half left, Jacob Markstrom has to make a unbelievable stop from in tight on a backhander. It's 3-3.
Yep.
Let's get to today's save of the game. Flames fall 3-0 on the road in Washington. The save of the game brought to you by Shane Holmes. And today's save of the game comes from Jacob Markstrom in period number 2.
Puck loose in the neutral zone and now moved ahead. Mantha walks it alone, shoots, and is stopped by Markstrom. A big save by Jacob Markstrom on a breakaway by Anthony Mantha.
That ends up being one of the 22 stops made by Jacob this afternoon, and that's his save of the game brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit shaneholmes.com, the better way to build. Lou, I know there's been a lot of talk about goaltending this season, but tough to talk too much about goaltending in a game where the Flames score a grand total of zero.
No, well, listen, was Jacob at his best today? No, but he would have had to pitch a shutout to get you a point today. So, you know, you're hanging a lot on your team. And this is a team, and it's hard to explain in sports how this happens. But there are times when, in a lot of ways, you look like a team that's playing not to lose. And when you're really going good, you're reading, reacting, and, you know, you're just playing the right way and things are going well as a result. Every time this team right now either misses on a chance or gives one up, it's like you're holding your breath. Mm-hmm. That's not an easy way for anybody to play, including your goaltenders, because, you know, for the most part, you feel like if... And it is a 3-2 league for the most part. We all understand that. But in the nights that they've struggled lately, there haven't been a lot of twos or threes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I think about the three goals that were scored today, the only iffy one for me was the second one. But again, I thought it was as much bad luck as anything else. There was a breakdown in front of him. And as he's being pulled down to the ice, somehow Evgeny Kuznetsov gets a shot off. And Jacob Markstrom was in position to make the save, but coming across the crease from his left to his right, his right pad just came off the ice literally about an inch, just enough for the puck to slide underneath it and go in. And that was the real backbreaker, that goal. But, you know, I don't think he had a chance on the T.J. Oshie goal in the first. And, well, Alexander Ovechkin might be the greatest goal scorer in the history of the game when all is said and done. So I also have a hard time faulting Jacob Markstrom for that one. But to your point, Lou, they didn't score a goal today. So the story for me is not Jacob Markstrom in this game. I'm sorry.
Final piece of business with you two gentlemen is selecting this afternoon's player with heart, brought to you by HeartFit Clinic. Lou, which way are you leaning on that today?
Not an easy one today, and this is as much about the trip, Pat, for me today as the game itself. I'm going to go with number 20, Blake Coleman. I thought even in, you know, the early part of this game, when they were at their better stages, he's been around it. He's got 5 points on the trip. I've really, really liked his work, and so I'm going to go that way today.
Blake Coleman is your player with heart, brought to you by HeartFit Clinic. For HeartFit assessments and proven treatments not available at your doctor's office, visit heartfit.ca.
There's one stat line that jumps off the game sheet to me for the Flames.
Which one's that?
Mackenzie Weegar. He had 9 shot attempts, including 4 shots on goal and 5 hits. I feel like his game is really coming around.
Oh, I think he's been quite good, and it's funny. That's a good stat line, and yet I didn't think he was as impactful today as he has been in other games. But I don't know when it's happening for this group, and right now, I'm kind of scratching my head because going into this season, I had so much confidence in the kind of team that was put together, and they're testing that confidence right now. But someone, somehow, some way, maybe it's 2 games where you just get on a roll and get 5 or 6 and things start working for a lot of different people. This team needs a spark right now. And tomorrow, they're going to be in a very different game. Mm-hmm. Today, as I expected, what was it? Hard, heavy, and you have a guess now?
You can finish. Calling right now.
No, that's good. That's good. Tomorrow's going to be more of a skating game against the Hurricanes.
Oh, yeah.
We are just about to head back to Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C., where the Flames fell 3-0 to the Washington Capitals this afternoon. Let's go back there right now. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk post-game show here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We check in with Flames forward Michael Backlund for some post-game reaction from Washington. Michael, a hard-fought one out there. I know that it ends up being a 3-0 loss. Just how did you see this one this afternoon?
Yeah, I thought we came out and played really well in the first. I thought we came out with some energy and with a better team. I thought we sat back a bit in the second, and that can't happen. And gave them some more momentum energy, and they also came out with a hard push. We knew they were going to do that, so we should have responded better. But, yeah, in the third we tried. It's kind of – then it was kind of game over and they scored 3-0 with – what was it, 4 or 5 minutes left.
Yep. Michael, there's been a few times on this road trip where just the one goal or this afternoon, no goals. You've had chances, you've had opportunities, you've had lots of shot attempts. What's the key in your mind to turning that time on the attack, turning it into goals past the opposing goaltenders?
I think we have the looks. We've got to be a little more patient and, find a net, obviously, easy to say, but yeah, that's the truth. And then, but also, I think we got to get a little more gritty, a little more dirty, get more bodies in front of the net, get more, throw in more pucks in there. All you need is a few dirty ones or gritty ones, and then, you can get on a roll. So I think that's where we got to start.
Last one for you, Michael, and that's just about tomorrow's game in Carolina. You've got an opportunity to still come away with 7 points and a 3-2-1 record on this road trip. Just how much, how important is that game to wrap up this six-gamer in Carolina tomorrow?
Yeah, no, it's a huge game for us. It's been a big difference for this trip. It's been a long trip. It can be, we need to win tomorrow. It's a big game for us.
Michael, appreciate the time. Good luck in Carolina.
Yeah, thank you.
It's Michael Backlund, postgame from Washington, where the Flames fall 3-0 to the Capitals on this Saturday afternoon. Flames Talk postgame rolls on. Today's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. Let's get some final thoughts looking ahead to Saturday's game in Carolina from our broadcast crew. Your phone calls and texts are around the corner, starting with Derek.
Well, I wonder what the lineup's going to look like for the finale of the season-long six-game road trip against the Hurricanes tomorrow. I assume Dan Vladar gets the start in goal with it being a back-to-back, although I've been fooled before, and I'm sure I'll be fooled again. I do wonder if Michael Stone, who has been on the trip, or at least part of the trip with the Flames, maybe gets back in on defense. Not that I think Dennis Gilbert has been bad. I think he's been the best of the three fairly inexperienced players who have taken a shot at being the Flames' number six defenseman with Stone out. And I wonder what the line combinations are going to look like. I'd like to get a longer look at Elias Lindholm between Jonathan Huberdeau and Tyler Toffoli, which we saw in the third period. I'm wondering if we're getting close to being at a point where the Flames have to try something, whether that's sitting someone out. I'm not talking about Kevin Rooney, or maybe calling somebody up. And I don't think that's going to happen tomorrow because the Wranglers are playing in Calgary and the Flames are en route from Washington to Raleigh. But if things don't go well in the finale of the road trip versus the Hurricanes, maybe it's time to give one of the kids who's been playing well at the AHL level look at the NHL level, whether it be Connor Zeri, who had a really strong training camp and preseason, or Jacob Peltier. Lou, I know you've really been impressed with how he's played of late.
Much better lately, better.
And Matthew Phillips has played well. I'm not sure they're going to go down that road, but who knows. But you know what? You've got an opportunity tomorrow. I said before the road trip started that with the schedule, a bunch of tough teams, and also a couple of back-to-backs in 6 games in 10 days with travel before the trip began and after the trip's over, and with 6 games in between, you're making lots of trips back and forth from one city to another during this long 6-game, 10-day road trip. I said if they could finish above 500, 4-2-0, 3-2-1, that would be a successful trip. Well, 3-2-1 is still on the table. Not going to be easy to get that third win against a good Hurricanes team tomorrow, but they're coming off of a road game, and they're playing in the second half of a back-to-back as well. So we'll see if the Flames can find a way to head back to Calgary with 7 of a possible 12 points on this season-long six-game road trip. And if they can get a win tomorrow and do that, then they can hold their heads high and try to get something going with 5 straight home games when they get back here.
Yeah, the only thing I really hope for on this trip is that they didn't have the kind of trip that, you know, really had them chasing the season. And even with a loss tomorrow, just the way the standings have been, I don't think they're going to find themselves in that position because guess what? We're not the only team in Alberta that is having a lot of questions being asked right now.
Nope.
Up the highway, it's hot and heavy too in terms of, you know, both teams with really high expectations, and there's been great moments for both. So tomorrow will be a very different game. It'll be incredibly high tempoed. You're going to have to work for everything that you get. You better bring your skating legs in the back half in that building. And the Flames, I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow. It's going to be hard for it to be tomorrow, but they need a day where they get off to a good start and they throw 3 in the back of the net on their first 8 or 9 shots to at least let them breathe and not feel. This season, every game has kind of felt like the next goal was going to win or make a difference. It's just a hard way to play.
A grind.
It kind of takes me back to the bubble season after Daryl joined the team.
Yep. All right, boys. See you tomorrow.
Talk to you in a few minutes.
Yeah. Also true. Yeah.
Bye.
Derek Wills, Peter Labardius signing off here on Flames Radio and your Flames Talk postgame show. Final score, 3-0. Flames fall to the Washington Capitals at Capital One Arena. Call now, 403-240-4444. Text now, 960-960. Your phone calls, your texts around the corner. Lots more postgame reaction from Washington as well. We've already heard from Daryl Sutter and Michael Backlund and more from the Flames in Washington as we continue as well. This is your Flames Talk postgame show coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio, the local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. For all things basement-y, visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com. Your phone calls, your texts, next. 3-0 the final. Flames lose to Washington. This is Alpine Credits Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hey, it's Haley Salvian from The Athletic. I host Hockey Central 960 from Tuesday to Friday at 1 o'clock on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. For a look at the latest on your Calgary Flames and NHL news, go click and subscribe to the Hockey Central 960 podcast. While you're there, please rate and review the show.
Let's continue breaking down the game, plus take your calls and texts. This is the Flames Talk postgame show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan or on demand wherever you get your podcasts.
Following a 3-0 setback in Washington this Friday afternoon, as we continue along on your Flames Talk postgame show, what's going on? It's Pat Steinberg along with you. The phone lines are open, 403-240-4444. The text line open at 960-960. Get your texts in now. Get your calls in. Now, a couple of lines open if you want to chat this afternoon. The Flames fall to 2-2-1 on this six-game road trip. One more game to go Saturday afternoon in Carolina. Today's Flames Talk postgame show is coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts, or live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Let's get to the text line as we continue getting people queued up on the phone lines. Starting with Mike at 960-960. Pat, not going to rip on the goaltending today. Instead, going to focus on the more general side of things. Last season, the Flames had a top line that consistently brought it, consistently checked well, and consistently set up other lines for success. This current Flames team doesn't have that. You never really know what line's going to show up or not show up, so there's no reliable source of play driving or dictating of play on any given night. I've also been disappointed with the way the entire team has checked this season, and I think that's a big reason why they've given up more goals this season compared to last year. Without question on that front, Mike. I mean, that was so central to what they did last year. And that part of their game just hasn't been anywhere near as good this season. No question about it. This from Don says, I think either the coach has lost the room or they've stopped listening. This team has a real problem finishing and a real problem putting the puck in the net. While I don't think this rests completely on the shoulders of our goaltending, it would be nice if they would steal us at least one game. I do think they lack identity. They also lack consistency. Just my thoughts. Been a fan for over 35 years. I do believe they'll turn it around, but it may take some personnel changes to do so. It's funny you bring up personnel changes, Don. I don't think necessarily now is the time. You know, it's ripe to make a trade right now. But I've been saying this for, I don't know, I want to say like 2 or 3 weeks. I think it's been time for 2 or 3 weeks to give something a try in the American League. You know, you go through the month of October and you're like, okay, it's work in progress. And it is still a work in progress, clearly. But it's been such a struggle to find consistent lines. It's been such a struggle to find consistent offensive spark. Why not see if something from the American League can work? Now, I'm not saying that it's going to. I'm not saying that this head coach is going to be keen on playing a young player and or a smaller player in a spot where they can be impactful. But I know on the outside, I can very much say that I think there'd be some benefit to at the very least giving it a try. Whether it's Connor Zeri, who would be my number one choice, whether it be Matthew Phillips, who would probably be right there with them and a lot of other people's number one choice, or somebody else. I just, at this point, it's been such a struggle, even if it can give a temporary spark before you send somebody back down. I think that there's reason to. I mean, you had Trevor Lewis, and I love Trevor Lewis. Like, he plays a very reliable role on this team. But, you know, when one of the first adjustments is to put him on the line with Lindholm and Toffoli, it's like, okay, well, you're probably needing a little bit more of an offensive spark somewhere. So, you know, that does very much pop into my head as we've continued to we've talked all show so far about how difficult it's been to create offense on this team. This says, same old story. It's probably better this way. Have a subpar regular season and then get blasted in the playoffs. Either way, a very mediocre team. This from Marcus and Creston, who says, watching the games lately, I think you're really noticing the loss of Gaudreau and Tkachuk. The Flames forward group 1 through 12 might be the best in the league, but they're missing the elite finishers. They outshoot teams every night due to having multiple good lines, but are still losing because other teams have elite scorers and don't need many chances. Yeah, I think there's something to that. I don't know if it's a permanent thing, but I think through 20, it's absolutely something that we've seen. You know, they don't have that elite finisher where, you know, they can turn a game where they have a bunch of shots and turn that into a lot of offense. Now, I don't know if that's going to be the story for the next 62, but I do think it has been part of what we've seen through the first 20. This reads, the problem with this team is they don't play with urgency. This team's built around Tkachuk and Gaudreau, not Huberdeau. Lewis is old and doesn't look good. Lucic is slow. No one's playing physical. The list goes on. What else we got here at 960-960? This says, I know there's been a lot of talk about the goalie. I truly believe that the number one goalie needs to have an absolute Vezina game, a complete shutout, in order for the defense and team to get rolling. That comes from Frank. Continuing along on the text line, as you continue getting in line on the phone lines at 403-240-4444, this says, I used to be a marquee defender, but that second goal is a goal that an NHL goalie should not let in. Hard to gain momentum and score a goal when it's ruined by another Markstrom muffin. I didn't necessarily see it that way. That's a team goal allowed, not a Markstrom goal allowed. So that's just my opinion on that. I didn't really feel like when you don't score a goal, A, it's tough to put too much on any goaltender, and B, I didn't feel, you know, he made the one breakaway stop on Mantha. I don't know if he made any like stops. He's like, okay, he was incredible this afternoon, and Kemper was clearly the better goaltender. But, you know, if you're looking for principal reasons why the Flames lost this game, to me anyway, it doesn't fall on or I don't get to Markstrom right at the top of my list. Other reasons why this one goes not Calgary's way today. Good afternoon, guys. Still say Markstrom is not a Sutter goaltender, not a lot of shots, and if he's not busy, it's like he loses focus. By the way, I'm a big Markstrom fan, and no one wins a game by by not scoring a goal. Go Flames, go. The only thing I'll say about that is he was a low event goaltender last year and posted 9 shutouts. So I don't know if I necessarily am on board with the, well, it's because he's not getting enough work or he's a guy that needs a lot of volume. This from Nathan. Pat, I thought Lou said it perfectly. Nothing seems to be coming easy for this group right now. Even when they win, everything looks hard. I get it still early, but coming into this season, I viewed them as a contender. Have they looked like a contender at any point this year to you? Even against mediocre teams, they've had trouble dictating. It feels like they're generating very little, and their finish is not looked up to par. Is that concerning? This year, it really feels like whenever the Flames are better than the other team, they're not getting enough done. That was not the case last year. They capitalized on their opportunity when they were the better team. I know it's early, but I really am a little concerned about them. For the longest time, I've been saying they'll eventually turn it around, but something just seems to be missing. What are your thoughts? Well, yeah, I mean, there are some, the couple questions that you asked in there, Nathan, in terms of is this concerning? Have they looked like a contender was one of the questions at any point this year. I mean, there have been flashes where they have. I thought they did in the early stages of the year. Yeah, they look like a pretty good team. And in the last 14, 15 games, there's been some flashes, but no, consistently, I don't know if they've looked like a big-time contender. The lack of finishing and that type of stuff, is that a concern? Slightly. And I do wonder if it is something that starts to turn around a little bit on this group. We'll see if they continue working on it, if that starts to turn a little bit. This says, it seems like when the Flames usually need a spectacular save in order to win, and most of their victories have been by one goal. The offense isn't there this year, and the additions have been disappointing. A so-so record would be more tolerable if they were at least a fast, exciting team. How many other teams currently in a playoff spot are just scraping by? I would say a few are. There's been a lot of inconsistent play and scraping by from a lot of quote-unquote good teams so far to start this season. This says, give the goalies runs apart. When's Markey going to steal one? The team in front of him often gives up only one or two scoring chances early, and they almost always go in. He's got to make a freaking save. How deflating is it when you play that hard and go into a period down a goal? Jordan in Calgary says, what's going on with Markstrom? I get the defense is still not their top guys, but the one or two weak goals a game need to stop. They're a massive momentum killers, and it seems very hard for the team to score this year. It would also be nice if Huberdeau showed up before the shootout as well. I mean, I think Huberdeau's been pretty dangerous, if you ask me, of late, but that's a different conversation. This reads, Pat, the Flames' power play really needs to improve. I believe they're in the lower third of the league in terms of power play percentage. What were they last year? I feel last year's power play was way more dangerous and effective than what we're seeing now. I understand Gaudreau and Tkachuk were big parts of power play success, but it just seems so disorganized on the man advantage. Yeah, I mean, they have dropped off a little bit the last 10 or so games on the power play. That is an area that they really need to work on. Finally, from Zach in Hamilton, I've been biting my tongue for the most part this season, but I think I finally need to see it. It's amazing to think how important one player was for this team. Johnny Gaudreau got to those tough spots, created chances, and made games interesting. Every game I've watched this season has been stressful because their offense cannot produce. I get it. It's Sutter hockey. One goal is all they need to win a game, but in today's game, it's going to take more than one to win. This team has potential, but something needs to change offensively. Enough with these weak shots in the highs and mids. It's time to get in front of the net, cross crease passes, and find the quality chances. There's some good stuff at 960 on the text line. Let's get to the phone lines at 403-240-4444 following a 3-0 loss in Washington. This is your Flames Talk post-game show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. Pat Steinberg along with you on this Friday afternoon. William, Will, you're kicking it off. What's going on?
Hey, Pat. You're going to give me a hard time on this one. when I look at when I complain about anything, I'm looking at the entire season in whole so far.
Okay.
Markstrom, he's not making those saves where they have to be made. Now, he is being outstanding. I give him credit on that. So, but he's allowing soft goals. So that part I don't like at all. I'm watching Sutter juggle the lines. And that is kind of ticking me off a little bit because what he needs to do, we've got two goalies that can stand on their head. it's time to give Lidar a shot. He's proven in the past that he can handle it. And we need to sit Markstrom for a while, let him figure things out, and go with Lidar, see what the kid's got. I think he's earned it, and I think if we don't give him that shot, we might as well just trade him, because that kid needs to play too.
I guess I'm not going to give you a hard time, Will. You're wrong. Here's what I'll say. I do. I 100% believe that we should see Dan Vladar more than we saw him last year. We should see him more than once every 2 weeks. I think there's a balance to be struck here. And I think the balance is, look, I do believe this team's best chance to be a contender, win a Stanley Cup, whatever you want to say, I think their best chance is absolutely to get Markstrom going. I do believe that. However, I also think that you can play Vladar more while also getting Markstrom going. There's been a few times already this year when I'm like, well, this could have been a good spot for Vladar. Now, Dan is likely going to start Saturday in Carolina, so he'll likely play again here pretty quick. But, you know, I get that you need to play Markstrom and you need to work him back to a level that is higher than what it's at right now. And you're right, Will, you're not wrong. He has not been good enough through the first quarter of the season. But I also think while doing that, you can also give Vladar more starts than he's gotten or more frequent starts than he's gotten so far to start the season.
Well, I think you have to run with Vladar. I mean,
see, I'm not quite at that point. That's the one area where I'm not quite at.
I know, but I'm not complaining about Markstrom. He's been good, and we all know what he's about, and he makes good saves every game. But he's letting in a few soft ones. So what we should do is let Vladar run the show for a little bit. Just give the kid a chance.
Yeah, that's where I'm not quite with you on yet.
4 or 5 wins in a row, and then all that pressure that is on Markstrom is gone. Know what I mean?
See, the problem is then, all of a sudden, if they were to do that, and Vladar goes on a run like that, well, then, like, how do you go back to Markstrom? You know, I'm not quite there yet. And I'm not saying that I, you know, if this doesn't change, maybe I will be there. I'm not even saying that what you're saying is wrong, Will. I'm not. I'm just not quite at that same point myself, and that's fine.
No, I know, but when you have two goalies that have proven that they could be a number one, so why not go with it? And then, you know, if both goalies start doing great, then good. You run them both.
I'm curious to see how Dan plays tomorrow in Carolina. That's a big game for him.
I think he should have gotten the start tonight for how he played last game.
Well, he's gonna get 2 of 3 here. I mean, whether he played in Washington or Carolina, that to me is kind of immaterial.
Yeah, and the other part that I'm having a problem with is our power play. Now, what I'm watching is some good face-off wins, and then we've got nobody in front of the net. Now, that's where Chucky was valuable. Is that guy was always to the net. So we're wasting shots, and that's all we're doing. We're not getting guys in front of these goalies. These goalies are too good where if you don't have people in front of the net, you're going to suffer. And sometimes a good thing to do is just throw that puck right into the legs, get a bounce off a skate, whatever, right? But have guys in front of the net.
Yeah, their power play has really kind of gone stagnant here of late. Would be big for them to pop a couple on the power play. And I do, Will, I appreciate the call as always, man. Good to hear from you. And I do think that one of the things that they have not done as well, although I thought that they had made more of a concerted effort on their 2 power play opportunities today, but overall, yeah, I mean, this goes to 5-on-5 play as well. They need a little bit more. They need bodies and pucks in harder areas, and that has been an issue. Bodies have not necessarily been there battling in that house area, and the puck hasn't been taken to that house area maybe as much as it needs to for them to turn turn some of their impressive zone time into actual goals and, you know, quality scoring opportunities. 403-240-4444 is your phone number. Little Friday afternoon edition of your Flames Talk post-game show. Flames fall 3-0 to Washington. We say hello to Caleb. What's up, Caleb?
Hey, how you doing, Pat?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. So I just had a quick point. I don't know if you see it the same way as I do. We heard all offseason coming into this year, you know, we have a great group. We're going to go on a run. We have this depth. We have this leadership, you know, whether it's Lewis or Lucic or Backlund or Markstrom, you name it. And from what I've seen is Sutter won't stick to something. Like why do we have Lucic one night playing 12 minutes on the fourth line, and then the next night he's playing on the top line with Huberto and Toffoli or whoever it's going to be? It doesn't seem like they're slotting on this team properly, right? Like, I just don't understand where everyone fits. Dubé, Mangiapane, and Kadri, I think that's a great line. But other than that, we have these pairs of, let's say, like Huberto and Lindholm. It just, something seems disconnected. Like, I just don't know where we can get this from. Like, why are we not seeing a Phillips or a Pelletier? Because clearly we're not as dangerous as last year. We're disjointed. If Lucic is playing more than 12 minutes a night, he's not going to be effective. So I just don't know where we go with this. Like what are your thoughts here? Like,
well, there's a few different trains of thought there. So first of all, I've been on the train for a little while now that, you know, I absolutely believe it's time to maybe see if someone from the farm can give a bit of a spark. The problem is I don't know if the head coach agrees. And if you're the team and you want to do that, well, that's great. But if the coach isn't going to play the player, I don't know if you want to go down that road, right? Like, do you want to bring up a Zeri and have him playing on the fourth line? Do you want to bring up a Phillips and not have him play and be a 13th forward? You know, that's, I think, absolutely infusing a little bit of youth and a little bit of freshness into the forward groups could be big for this team. I'm absolutely there. I just don't know if the team is there. And even if the team is there, I don't know if the coach is there. You know, the coach is and this is, look, he's a Hall of Fame coach. So I don't know whether or not he's going to play a guy like that at this point though. So yeah, I don't know. I do think that there is some merit to that conversation. On the other side, as for why things have been juggled up, the problem is, and I understand it, it's kind of tough, Caleb, to stick with anything when nothing's working. And at some point, you need to find some sort of a spark, and I think that's part of why we've seen as much juggling as there's been. Now, to wrap up my little soliloquy here, I do think that the decision to change those lines six games into the season, that one still is a bit of a head scratcher because they had something going and then everything got put into a blender and nothing is really, and I'm not saying this is necessarily the reason why, but whether it's coincidence or not, nothing seems to have been quite as good since then.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't mean to harp on a guy, you know, like Luch or any of these veteran guys. It just seems like, obviously, Rooney and Richie, they're not moving the needle here, right? So where's that competition coming
from?
Well,
I would say Richie is. Richie goes out and does what he's asked. Like, to me, Richie's a top 12 forward on this team right now, and he does what he needs to. Rooney, obviously, is not. Lucic has been fighting it a lot this year. So, yeah, that's why I think they could use a little bit more competition. You know, Ruzicka's given them a nice little boost, or did, but it's dropped off. You even heard Daryl Sutter earlier in the show say just that. It's kind of taken a bit of a step back the last two or three. So, but Ruzicka gave him a nice little boost and helped stabilize a line. Why not see if another player can do that?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Thanks for having me on, Pat. I appreciate it.
Okay, Caleb, appreciate the call, my friend. 403-240-4444 is your phone number as the Flames fall 3-0 in Washington. Terry's up next on your Flames Talk postgame. What's up, Terry?
Oh, just relaxing from being fat and sassy from a bunch of turkey.
That's right. You're calling from south of the border. Happy belated Thanksgiving, my friend.
Well, thank you much. Just a point of interest. I know the guys were talking earlier about the fast starts the Flames got last year.
Mm-hmm.
I believe by this time last year, Markstrom already had 5 shutouts.
Yeah, and Vladar had 1 or 2 in there as well.
Yeah. And then the other thing, too, last year the Flames were one of the top scoring teams in the third period. This year we find ourselves on the other side of the zero. I think we're -9 now.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Let me just confirm that for you because I can add one, so I can do that. Their third period, so goals by period coming in, they're now -9. It's 22-13 for the opposition.
Yeah, and that makes a difference. So last year, if we were down a goal or two, it didn't matter because everybody felt, oh, yeah, we can score 2 in the third and there's no problem. But this year, if you're even down a goal, it's like, oh my goodness, the world's coming to an end.
On top of that, Terry, they were up in a lot of third periods last year.
Exactly, and so that was just pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
And I've heard it said before that if you stay in the offensive zone, it's pretty hard for the other team to score. I heard that rumor somewhere.
I can't confirm or deny, but that sounds like it might have some sense behind it. Yeah, I mean, and that is one of the things that the Flames did really well last year, is because they did spend a lot of time in the offensive zone, and they also were far better than they have been last year. And I know a lot of the focus right now is on the lack of scoring, it should be, but at the same time, they were a much better team last year away from the puck, and how good they were away from the puck fed a lot of what they were able to do offensively, because they got it back so much more effectively, and then they were able to be able to transition that to some time on the attack. That has not been at the same level. And, you know, we don't have to keep comparing it to last year either. We can just say it's not at the level it needs to be right now for them to be a successful team with the way that they're built.
Exactly, and then we look at it too, and this is just a comparison, not to last year either. The last few games, the power play has done zip, but we've given up power play goals. And so when you're allowing more power play goals than you're scoring, the probability of losing the game increases substantially.
Yeah, and their penalty kill has been actually, like, I think systematically and functionally, it's been pretty good this year, but it's probably allowed too many goals lately. And I think that partially falls on, I think you need some power play saves in there. And on top of that, yeah, you probably you need to get some key kills. Now, they got the key kills against Pittsburgh, and they got that key one in overtime, which allowed them to get to the shootout and earn the single point. But, yeah, I mean, the special teams battle is one that they have got to win more often than they're winning it right now, without question.
Yeah, because the last power play when Huberdeau and Lindholm were on, they moved the puck for, what, almost a minute, I believe it was, but there was no shots on goal. And so it doesn't matter if you control the puck for a minute or a minute and 20 of power play time if you don't get a shot on goal.
Yeah, agreed.
And there I believe one of the callers was talking about those greasy goals. We need someone. Last year it was Tkachuk. We got to find someone. Maybe Kadri can get in front of the net. Maybe somebody else can get in front of that. But
Kadri actually has. Kadri has done that, and has done that in his career, and has done that as a member of the Flames this season. I just think now it's kind of like, okay, well, you need a little bit more of that, and maybe a little bit more of a concerted effort to do that. And I think that doesn't just go for the power play. I think it goes for their 5-on-5 game as well.
Yeah, because there's too much stuff coming from the blue line, and Pat, you can stop them if nobody's in front of you.
Maybe not me, but yes, it makes it a whole lot easier. Are you kidding me? I'd be running away from an NHLer's shot. But a goaltender, yes, if they play in the NHL, it makes it a whole lot easier.
Yeah, and I think for Markstrom, and I'm not gonna rag on him, but I think the issue here is when you're only scoring 1 or 2, there's so much pressure placed on the goaltender to make that next save.
And I think that's fair. And I think that that's one thing that maybe I think it works both ways. I know there's a lot of right now. It's like, well, I mean, how if you're the players and you know that one soft one goes in, what does that do to them? Well, you know, right now if you're the goaltender, it's like, geez, you feel like you got to make this amount of saves and you can only let in one because, you know, there's not the run support. I do think it works both ways. So look, I'll say this and then we got to wrap up, Terry, but I do think Markstrom's game needs to be better. It has not been at the right level this year, but it's not just him why they're only a game above 500.
Oh, absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. Hey, check with you tomorrow. Thanks.
Be well. Happy Thanksgiving, Terry.
Thank you.
403-240-4444 is your phone number. Call now. Phone lines are open if you want to chat with us on your Flames Talk post-game show. It's Pat Steinberg along with you following a 3-0 loss in Washington. Last call of this segment is Travis. What's up, Travis?
Hey, Pat. I hope your day's going well. You know, I know a lot of people are harping on the Flames and saying, oh, well, we're not as good as Gaudreau and Tkachuk were last year, blah, 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 but yeah, that's true. But also, in the last 4 or 5 years, Gaudreau and Tkachuk had some mediocre years, too. So, you know, last year they were dynamite. 4 years ago, they were pretty good. The 2 years in between, they were just so-so, I believe, correct?
I don't think the bubble loss, or the bubble season, rather, the 56-game season, that Gaudreau had moments but wasn't as good. That was in the 56-game season. I think that's probably fair. That was a so-so year for him. And then, you know, I think a lot of the conversation has been about what those guys have done or haven't been able to do in the playoffs. And while I do think that specifically Johnny was able to take a step forward in terms of the playoff narrative last year, especially in the first round, I don't know if Matthew really pushed that conversation forward in a positive way for himself. So, do I think that there's still a significant adjustment going on with those two guys no longer here? Absolutely. And they're a different team this year than they were last year. Absolutely. But at the same time, they also need to figure out ways to be okay with that. And maybe it takes 30 or 40 games for that to be the case. I don't know. But at some point, they are going to have to that's going to no longer be an excuse with those guys not being here anymore. And you're right. They were great last year. Doesn't mean they were great all the years leading up to that. That is very much true.
Yeah, you know, so and it took him a long time to build that. Took him years to build some chemistry and to, you know, actually look pretty elite like last year. So I'm not going to get too down on the group. I think, obviously, as we all know, we're probably still missing a top six winger, possibly, or a top nine winger, just to balance it out a bit. You know, you don't want to see Lewis go up to the top line. He's a great two-way player that is good in your bottom six, but he's definitely not a top six forward. So, and I think we know Tree Living's always wheeling and dealing. So I'm sure it's a matter of time. Maybe it doesn't come in the next 10 games or 20 games, but at some point he's going to add a winger. So, and hey, for me, I think they're still going to have a good year. I still think they're going to make the playoffs. If they're building it up the right way and learning the right way to play under Daryl, because I think Daryl kind of always has a plan. Like, he's a smart coach. If they can build it up the right way and hit their stride at the right time, that might be more beneficial towards the playoffs than kind of how we've lit it up during the regular season, kind of faltered in the playoffs the last few seasons when we had a really good regular season, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's definitely the glass half full way of looking at it. And I'm not even saying that that's the wrong way of looking at it, or it's like, you know, being too rosy or putting rose-colored glasses on. It's just that is the optimistic way of looking at it, and I think there's a chance that optimistic way of looking at it comes to fruition. And I think that if you're a Flames fan and this team makes it into the playoffs and is better in the playoffs and is able to give really good teams a better outing in the playoffs, then this stretch right here will be pretty easy to forget about. They got to get there first, and they're
in an okay spot right now, but, you know, they are going to have to get their game in order a little bit more than it has been to get there for us to have those conversations or for that to be proven that indeed this is a learning thing and something that they, you know, can use come playoff time. And, you know, I've said since the Kadri signing kind of completed this roster in the summer, I've been saying that I believe that they're a more difficult team to go up against in the playoffs or have the chance to be a more difficult team to go up against in the playoffs. They gotta get there to be able to prove that correctly. And I'm curious to see if they do get there, if that indeed ends up being the case. We shall see. Good stuff, Trav.
Could I say one last thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, right now, yeah, we look at Huberto and other people, but I think Huberto's played well. I didn't get to see the game. I kind of listened to it today, but I think we need a lot more out of Mangiapane, you know?
Without
question.
He was a
pretty good goal scorer for us last year.
I think right now Mangiapane's probably been the most disappointing player on the team this year. And I hate saying that about a guy that is such a fan favorite for good reason. I appreciate the story and the way he goes about his business in such a large, large way. And I didn't even go into this year, you know, booking 35 goals from him again. But I did, you know, I do expect him to still be the guy that is tenacious and so hard to play against and a dog on a bone with the trying to get pucks back and around it. I do expect that from him, and we just haven't seen that consistently enough. So, yeah, I think the first quarter of the year, Mangiapane has been a significant disappointment. It's too bad. I think he's got it in him to change that narrative, but he absolutely needs to change that narrative.
So would you reunite him with Backlund and Coleman?
Maybe.
Because that was a pretty,
yep, maybe.
A pretty damn good line for us last year, right?
I would not be opposed to that myself.
And I think Huberto's got to stay on the top line with Lindholm, in my opinion. But thanks, Patty.
Appreciate it, Trav.
Thanks for taking. Yeah, have a good day.
403-240-4444 is your phone number as the Flames fall 3-0 in Washington this afternoon. This is your Flames Talk postgame show. It's Steinberg along with you on a Friday afternoon. Call now, 403-240-4444. Text now, 960-960. Let's head back to Capital One Arena in Washington. Get some more postgame reaction. Jonathan Huberto talking postgame after Calgary's first shutout loss of the season.
Maybe just start with kind of the difficulty tonight, what you guys kind of saw in terms of trying to, you know, find a way and find some offense here tonight.
Yeah, I think, you know, they were better with the puck than we were, and that was a difference. I mean, we had chances and didn't capitalize on it, and they did. So I think, you know, back-to-back, got to forget about this one. Good trip so far, so we're going to finish it off on the right note. So.
How did you feel about the overall? Obviously, it was, you know, tougher, especially as that game went on, to get chances. But how did you feel about the overall game?
I mean, we got better, obviously, but at the end, you know, at the end of the day, it wasn't the worst game. But I think, you know, we got more for sure, and good thing we're right back at it tomorrow. So I think just work hard and, you know, finish the road trip on the right note.
How do you park that one? And I know the idea of getting right back at it is probably a good thing, but given how long it's been, given how much you guys have had to go through on this trip, how do you kind of forget this thing and then reset so quickly to tomorrow?
Yeah, it is important. I think, you know, like you said, it's been a long road trip. So I think, you know, obviously finish it off. I think tomorrow we need a really good start in Carolina. We know it's a tough place to play in. And that's what we need to do. I think just reset, I think, our mindset, and right, you know, wake up tomorrow, new day, new game.
And we saw you back with Elias and Tyler in the third. I know the chemistry maybe wasn't there at the start of the season, but do you think that trio can work?
Yeah, well, we'll see how it's going to be tomorrow. But yeah, I think, you know, obviously we're three good players, so I think we gotta figure out to, you know, how to create some chances in the offensive zone. And if we're together, that's what we're gonna do.
That is Jonathan Huberto postgame in Washington. We'll see if that trio of Huberto, Lindholm, and Toffoli is back together Saturday in Carolina to wrap up this road trip. Last check inside the Flames locker room comes from Elias Lindholm following today's 3-0 loss.
Just kind of the same to you, just to kind of describe the night, maybe just, you know, how difficult it was to kind of get some of those chances.
No, we had a good first. Obviously, we talked about coming out good in first, and we did. after that, they took over and were the better team. So, you know, overall, not good enough for 60 minutes, but regroup and get back at it tomorrow.
Did you kind of see some of that, what Jonathan said about kind of the puck plays too, maybe at the first, that just sort of, even though the play was there, but maybe just didn't allow you to finish off some?
Yeah, I think there was plays to be made, but, you know, just didn't execute good enough, and obviously that affects the whole game.
What made, maybe this goes into it, what you just said, but what made the offense so hard to come by for your group today?
Yeah, just touched on it. I think, you know, the execution part, this place to be made, and obviously we didn't make them, and they got the puck back pretty quick from there, so just got to be better.
How quickly does that have to shift now to Carolina, and obviously the end of what's been a really long road trip for your group? But
yeah, just, you know, right away. I think put this behind us, obviously. First 20 was pretty good, but other than that, it's not much to take away from this game. And, you know, you just got to focus on playing good tomorrow. It's going to be a tough game for us.
What's important in making that happen? It's been a long road trip. To flip the switch, forget about this, and, you know, get right back at it tomorrow. What's important in making sure you guys are dialed in for that to finish strongly?
No, I think, you know, we just got to, you know, have the same first period and then keep building. You know, this today we had a good first and then took a step back and they started dominating after that. So just gotta, you know, have a good first and keep building and take next step and go from there. But today we didn't do that.
I saw you back with Jonathan and Tyler towards the end of the game. I know the chemistry maybe wasn't there to start the season, but do you see something there? Like, can that trio click? Can that work?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, Johnny has been injured a couple of games and came back and looked pretty good. And you know, now he's used to everything. So it will only get better for us. And you know, I'm playing with Ty for a long time now. So we know each other pretty well. So, yeah, we'll see what happens next game.
That is the voice of Elias Lindholm post-game after a Flames 3-0 loss to the Washington Capitals this afternoon. Today's Alberta-made player of the game, brought to you by Wild Rose Brewery, was defenseman Nikita Zadorov. Today's Zadorov, -1. He played 22 minutes and 21 seconds. 2 shots, 4 attempts, 3 hits, 1 giveaway, 1 block shot for Nikita Zadorov today. Today's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. Next up for the Flames into Carolina Saturday for a 2 o'clock faceoff right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. You're locked on our Flames Talk postgame show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. The local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. For all things basement-y, visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com. Let's get back to the text line following a Flames 3-0 loss in Washington, and back to the phone lines as well. To the text line we go first, though, at 960-960. This says, very poor performance for a team we were told would be good enough for first in the Pacific. Right now, they're a below-average hockey team with an average goaltender, weak defense, and an inability to get good enough shots on net to make them count. Very disappointed. And I think that's probably a fair assessment of the first 20 games of the year. The question is the first 20 a harbinger of things to come? I don't even know what the word harbinger means, to be perfectly honest. I just know that's that people use it like that. I don't know if the first 20 games are a sign of things to come, or if it's something that is just part of the growing and learning process. Don't know, but I think that text sums up the first 20 games very succinctly and very fairly. This has just tuned in. Have you talked about Phillips, Pelche, Zeri? One of these guys has got to get a chance here. No, we have talked about that, and I firmly agree that now's the time to not even be thinking about it. Now's the time to do it. Maybe not at the as this road trip comes to an end. You might have to wait until Tuesday's game against Florida, but why not at this point? And I'm not sure they will, because I don't know if the coach will play one of those guys, but I think that there's plenty of reason to go down that road if you're the Flames. They need a spark, if you ask me offensively. This says, Pat, just watching the Flames this year has been a nail biter the whole way. I don't think they've really dominated a team yet or have been predictable to win. It seems every game comes down to a mistake made or a lucky bounce why they win or lose. They're never ahead of the competition. They're just always 50-50, and they're usually the team that makes the most mistakes. It's frustrating to watch. Do you think this quarter of the season is what they are? I just don't think they have enough to move the needle above middle of the road right now. Do you think they have the right mix? Do I think this is what they are? I'm not convinced at this point. And I get it that all we can go on is what the first 20 have been. I think there is still more to this team. I still think there's more to get out of this team. And there's some individuals that can and need to, and I still think will be better for them. So I'm not convinced that this is what they are. And part of that reason I say that is because I was pretty adamant going into this season that it might take some time. It might take them a little bit of time to find their stride. I don't know if I felt it was going to be maybe this extreme, but I did feel going into the year that with so many new core faces, it might take a little bit of time for them to find stride. And I think that's what's happening. And to their benefit, they're not out of it in a playoff conversation, either in the West or the Pacific. So they've been able to kind of find their way through 20 games and haven't dug themselves a hole. They've still won more than they have lost, or they have won more than they've lost in regulation, and they've been able to pick up a few loser points as well. So for me, I didn't expect it to be an instant fit. I don't know if I saw them having this much trouble scoring, but it is only a quarter of the way. There's still three quarters to go, and I felt it was going to take some time. So I still feel that. It's very clear that's going to be the case. Now the question is how much time. But no, to answer that question, I don't think this is what they are. I'm not ready to go there at this point. This says, in the playoffs, the games get tighter, and the Flames need to learn to play the right way. Win and lose enough of these types of games in the regular season, and the boys will feel right at home come playoffs. They have enough underperforming players right now that I'm still optimistic they'll be just fine when they find their game. Adversity now will pay off come April. They just need to get there. That comes from Ryan in Okotoks. This says, are Ruzicka's warts showing in his game? Seems ineffective away from the puck. He reminds me of a Monahan light, shoot first, quick release. Could Huberdeau facilitate that better? Bump Toffoli down. I do think the Ruzicka side of things, yeah, the last two or three games, he's been less effective. I thought especially today against Washington, he was a little soft at times, and that's the one thing he can't afford to do or be is soft. So I do think he's fallen off a little bit in saying that. I also still think there's lots of potential there. We'll see how it plays out here. This says, that Oilers series ruined Markstrom. Looks like he's continuing to fight the same thing as he was during that series. This says, Darryl's gone from coach of the year to someone getting out-coached, making mistakes. Feels like I don't know what that last part is supposed to mean, but that comes from Troy. This says, Sutter spoke about having leaders on the team not necessarily needing a captain, but those leaders need to set the example and drive accountability. As Lucic, Lewis, Coleman, Toffoli set the tone on this team, something is missing. This says, I feel that the stubbornness of Sutter is going to hurt this team. To say that you need Markstrom to get a good run in the playoffs, I don't agree with. He was a major reason they lost in the playoffs last year, as he was average at best, was probably tired and overworked, and yet Sutter refused to put Vladar in, and he's not playing him again this year. Why not go with the hot goalie, which is what successful coaches and teams have done for as long as I can remember? This says, can defend Markstrom as much as you want, but numbers don't lie. This year he's sitting at .889. Doesn't matter if he's playing better. You can't finish the year at below .900 and expect to make the playoffs, or if you do make it, do anything. Campbell at .876, and we all give the Oilers a hard time for their goalie. He's 70th in the league. Ours is 59th. That's not a lot better. This says, Pat, Drew from Calgary. Just curious what the plan is with Matthew Phillips. Is he not UFA at year's end? Yeah, he'll be group six at the end of the year, I believe, or almost destined to be group six UFA at the end of year. I don't know what the plan is. And look, as much as I think and as much as I'll bang the drum for maybe a little infusion from the Wranglers, I don't know how confident I am, A, it's going to be Phillips, or B, if it is, how impactful a role he'll be given. What else we got here at 960-960? Pat, my observation is no Flames player wants to be creative on the offensive side for fear of giving up a chance when Markstrom's still finding his groove. Everyone's playing very tentatively, and it shows. Also, shout out to Tanev for blocking every shot on the right side of the ice. That comes from Andrew. Jacob says, Markstrom's the worst starting goalie in the NHL through the first 20 games. It's bad, and it's heartbreaking as a fan of the team and the player. What a terrible turn for the organization. Terry says, just like when Big D first got here, it takes time for the new guys, and they have lots to adjust. That's just a little bit of what's going on the text line at 960-960. Great stuff on the text line. A lot of them coming through. If I didn't get to all of them, I apologize. But great stuff on the text line this afternoon at 960-960. 3-0 the final score. Caps over the Flames. Back to the phone lines we go on your Flames Talk postgame show. A couple more to get to before we wrap things up on Flames Talk postgame. Parsons is up first. What's up, Pars?
Hey, brother. How are you doing?
Good, man.
Good. I actually had a day off today, so I can actually watch an afternoon game.
Oh, beauty.
I think our record in afternoon games is not so swell, is it?
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways, I
feel like they won a few of them last year, but I don't. That's one that I don't track.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's just a couple of things I want to talk about, Pat. In terms of the offense, I feel like, you know, we have to be really realistic on paper who we actually have in terms of finishers and stuff like that, because, you know, I think we got a little disillusioned with that top line last year, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, guys like Lindholm, you know, they weren't perennial 40 goal scorers or even perennial 30 goal scorers. And neither is, Huberto or Toffoli. A lot of these guys are perennial, you know, mid 20 goal scorers, and, you know, the same with Kadri. And the thing that could be said with Manji, he had a freakish year, and he's one of those guys that may be a perennial 20 goal scorer, because there's not enough evidence in past to even call him that. And it's the same with Dubé knocking on 20 every year or trying to. So there's not the finish there. And I'm not sure how that's all going to work. And I'll agree with you on the one thing when you said that when they did the first mix up there after the first 6-7 games there, one of the guys I've noticed that hasn't nearly been the same, and I don't know if you've noticed this, is Kadri.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Kadri's game has fallen off here a little bit, and I don't think he's been as good in the last, 10, 11 games or so. He hasn't been as good. I lost my train of thought there. What was the question on Kadri? I was listening, and then I lost it as I was talking there. Can you refresh me the question?
Yeah, well, I was just saying that, you know, when they did that first lineup.
Okay, sorry. That's what I thought, but I lost what I was going to say, and then I was like, what did he ask again? Sorry. I do think that has, whether or not those shuffles after the Oilers loss, if that's the reason why it's fallen off, it does seem like that has been right around the time it has happened. So I think it would be pretty easy to connect the two. I don't know for sure if that is the reason why, but definitely I think he is one of the guys that has dropped off, and seemingly right around that time. Now, I also believe that there's some other things going on with Kadri, but that could very well be the case. Now, he's been back with Mangiapane and Dubé for 3 or 4 games now, and they've been okay. I liked them, for instance, against Pittsburgh. I didn't like them so much today against Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just seems like he's frustrated out there, and I thought I saw him chirping at Manji a couple of games ago too, so I'm not sure what's going on there. It just seems like Calgary's offense as a general whole is almost a mirror image of how Mangiapane's season's going. You know, there's a lot of hard work out there. Just, you know, but that's what it is. There's no finish or no, it's just working so hard and harder, not smarter kind of thing. And, and I understand, like, that's a part of, you know, Sutter's coaching. Here's another thing that kind of worries me a little bit, is there's a lot of older guys, and I brought this up, and I understand how Coach you know, coaches the game, and I understand he's been successful in two cups and yada yada, but I don't know if this team is built for sustainability in terms of working that hard for 60 minutes with a lot of these older guys. Like, I don't know how long that's going to really play out and be successful. You know, there is a lot of guys in the 30s here on this team, and I just don't know how sustainable. And I know he's very stubborn, coaches, you know, as it pertains to trust in bringing up new blood. Very short leashes. You know, you get one or two games and you're not looking the best. Well, you're either getting bumped down or on the bench. So I just want to end off with this, with Markstrom. I do like Markstrom. It was a huge difference from last year to this year, where we were setting shutout records and this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, we're a quarter away into the season here. And the one thing that's really bothering me is I keep hearing the term, we got to get him going. And the thing that bothers me about that is, you know, he's got a very hefty contract. He was a Vezina runner-up. I don't really hear anyone talking about anyone else's goalies about, well, we got to get him going. I mean, what does that even mean? Like,
well, what it means is that you need him. You need him to get back to his level and back. I don't think he needs to be a Vezina Trophy candidate, but I think he needs to be better than what he's been. And
no,
he's the type of guy.
What
it means is he's the type of guy who needs games to get his game in order. Most goalies do. That's what we're referring to.
Okay. But we're a quarter away into the season.
I get it. I'm not sitting here trying to make excuses for the guy. But at the same time, you probably need him to be at a higher level. So if the way to do that is to give him more games, you probably got to give him more games.
I don't know. I guess. I mean, we pay the guy big money to make big stops, and he's not doing that. So, and we just keep doing the same thing over and over again. So. I don't know. Something's got to change, or, you know.
That much we can agree on, Parse. We got to wrap, but that much
we
can
agree
on.
All right, man. Take care.
Be well, buddy. We'll talk soon.
You bet.
Last call today. We can't go. We can't do a marathon, Jose, but we can do a little bit of Jose. Jose is wrapping us up.
Man. Okay. Well, I'll try to cut short. So back,
good luck.
you set me up for failure, man.
Absolutely.
This is what Sutter's doing with the lines, man. You set me up to crash and burn. But, hey, let's give it a shot. Okay, so everybody needs to back off of the ledge a little bit. Just relax. You know, I know it doesn't look great. The optics of a 3-0 loss isn't fantastic against a Washington team that's a little beat up. Like, you know, let's call the spade a spade. They're pretty beat up, and we should have won that game. But we didn't. And so the skies have fallen, and a lot of people are panicking, and a lot of people are you know, pointing fingers and trying to find the blame. And you know, it's just going to keep on going like this until we just find that stability. And that's been the question mark, or that's been like the challenge this season so far. Just, you know, in Sutter we trust. Everybody talks about trusting Sutter, and I defend the guy tooth and nail. Like, I will, when anybody talks to me about how Sutter doesn't know what he's doing, I'll be like, listen, Sutter more is known as pinky about hockey than all of us combined all together know. And so sometimes you got to trust the guy who's sitting behind the players a little more than the guys who are analyzing, or the guys like us that are watching, or, you know, whatever the case may be. For me, the one thing that I'm tired of, though, Pat, and I'm getting really, really sick of, and I love Sutter, but I'm really getting sick of the lip service. Now,
in what sense?
How many games did Sutter say that Vladar was going to start 4 weeks ago?
Yeah, he said he's going to start once a week.
Right. How many weeks have we been into the season?
He hasn't started once a week. Let's just be concise. He has not started one game a week.
He's not started one game a week. How many weeks have we had now? 6, 7?
I don't know, but he has not started once a week.
Yeah. So we've had about 7 weeks now, and he's had about 3 starts. Okay.
He's had 4, and he'll make a 5th tomorrow.
If that's the hill you want to die on, Sutter, then you gotta take the heat for this, because here's the thing. I know that Markstrom, he wants, like, he's got this love affair with Markstrom and his number one guy, and riding his number one guy as hard as he can. But listen, if Markstrom isn't feeling it right now, you got to go with the hot hand. I mean, Pat, let me ask you another question. How many outstanding games has Markstrom had this year?
I don't know, one or two.
I'd say two, right? The Winnipeg game and the Pittsburgh game?
Pittsburgh game, Winnipeg game. I'm trying to think. I think there's maybe one other in there that I liked,
but let's
be very concise.
Right.
Markstrom has not been good enough this year. He struggled by his standards, and he struggled, period. They need his level of hockey, his level of goaltending to be significantly higher than it has been.
There's nothing I can say to dispute that. Markstrom's going to start again tomorrow.
No, I don't think he is. I think Vladar is going to start.
Now, that's what we said before. That's what we said the last time.
I will be absolutely stunned if Markstrom starts tomorrow. I would be absolutely off my chair stunned if Vladar doesn't lead him out tomorrow.
We'll see. The proof is in the pudding, man. And like I said, like the one thing is, I know that Sutter's trying to get the results, but listen, sometimes you got to ride the hot hand. And I was asking you how many good games Markstrom has had, because how many good games has Vladar had?
Two.
Same number.
Yeah.
On a much smaller sample size, Pat.
I've already said that I think that Vladar should play more.
You know, and that's the thing. Like, I love the guy, and I think you can. I'm really getting sick of the lip service, because this guy burns our number one goalies. He burns them into the ground. And I think the
lip service thing's a little silly. He said the one thing on game two of the season that their plan is to kind of average it out for one start a week for Vladar. I mean, I guess you can call that lip service if you want to get hung up on it. I'm not even trying to defend the coach. I think knowing you as I do, I think you're getting a little fixated on that particular thing. But the crux of the conversation, and I can only say that to guys like you who I know very well, and it sounds more condescending than it actually is, yep. Just because I know Jose that well, and it's just two boys talking. But the one thing that I do, the crux of the conversation is that I think, to Parsons' point on the last call, I think that you can give Markstrom enough games to satisfy his need to get going and to get the games to get going, and also play Vladar more than he has so far this year. I think Vladar deserves more starts going forward. I think he has deserved more starts prior. We'll see how it goes and starts on Saturday against Carolina. I will be stunned if it's not Vladar against the Hurricanes, but I'll text you. If Vladar does not lead him out tomorrow, I'll text you right away and say,
you're right, okay?
You're
hot and sour soup, buddy.
Okay.
I hope that Vladar does play tomorrow. And again, like, I mean, we're not out of it. Like, I mean, I've always said that we need 12 points out of every 10 games. So right now we should be at 24 points after 20 games. We're at 21. We're three behind the pace, but nobody else is really leading the charge in the division. So there's no need to panic. I mean, the Oilers last year, I remember them being like having like 10 or 11 losses in a row, and the sky saw, and everybody's, they made it to the conference final.
Yep.
You know, so it's, at the end of the day, what matters is the end result. But that being said, like I said, I hope that this is 20 games in now. This leash needs to get a little shorter for Markstrom, because if he's still going to be performing like this, we're only going to go as far as our goalies allow us. And our goalies are not allowing us to go far, Pat. It's just the truth of the matter.
Thanks, Jose. It's good to hear from you, brother.
You too, brother. Ciao.
Talk soon. That'll wrap us up on the phone lines and the text line on your Flames Talk post-game show today. Thank you very much for the outstanding stuff, as always. It's time for today's final summary. 3-0, the final score, as the Capitals open the scoring at 7:56 of the first period. The eventual game winner off the stick of TJ Oshie, his third from Eric Gustafson and Alex Ovechkin, was 1-0 Washington after 20 minutes of play. In the second period, Evgeny Kuznetsov makes it 2-0 at 16:37. Kuznetsov's third from Oshie and Sonny Milano, and it was 2-0 Caps after 40 minutes of play. They'd had one more on the power play in the third. Alex Ovechkin's 11th and 791 for the career.
Ovechkin from Connor Sherry and Milano at 12:24. Power play goal made it 3-0, which ends up being your final score. Final shot, 32-25 Calgary. Flames 0-2 on the power play. Washington 1-2 with the man advantage. Your three stars today, number 3, Evgeny Kuznetsov, number 2, TJ Oshie, and number 1, Darcy Kemper. With the loss, Calgary falls to 9-8-3. They're back in action tomorrow in Carolina. Washington improves to 9-10-3. They're back in action tomorrow as well in New Jersey. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey this afternoon, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Peter Labardius, and for our outstanding producers Azam Nanji and Cameron Hughes, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And it's been coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio, the local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. For all things basement-y, visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com. Next up for the Flames, 2 o'clock faceoff Saturday afternoon with a 1 o'clock Flames warm-up pregame show, Flames and Hurricanes, to wrap up this 6-game road trip. We'll talk to you on pregame then. Stay with us because a bonus edition of Flames Talk is around the corner. Eric Francis, Derek Wills coming your way in just a few minutes as the final score from Washington this afternoon. Flames fall 3-0 to the Capitals. This has been your Flames Talk postgame show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Alpine Credits Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
This is CFAC 960 AM, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. A Rogers Sports and Media radio station. Flames Radio is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Thanks for listening. Sportsnet.ca/960 has games and times for the next Flames Radio broadcast. This is a copyright broadcast. No retransmission, streaming, recording, or copying of the broadcast in any way is allowed without the permission of the Calgary Flames Hockey Club and Sportsnet. 960. Calgary's home for the Flames and the National Hockey League is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.